Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. It all starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January 12th in the year of our Lord, 2015. It's our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe the checks and balances based on the rule of law are absolutely brilliant. We never have to have a revolution. We can have a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Revolution is not necessary if we use the checks and balances wisely given to us by our founders. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. On Friday, we were indeed live, although some of you that listen to the rebroadcast might not have known it. It's a long story. Right after the broadcast on Thursday, my on-air, my main computer that runs the whole radio network, crashed. And I spent a bunch of time rebuilding it, and I had everything rebuilt and ready to go for the next day's show. But long story short, there was a glitch in devices, and it did not record. So I didn't have a recording of Friday's broadcast. But we are live now, and hopefully everything's getting recorded now, and that's all good news. Hope you're doing marvelous. A quick recap of what we covered on Friday, though, certainly is in order. Brought to you in part by freezedryguy.com. When you want incredible, long-term, storable food, think freezedryguy.com. And tell them that you know Mountain House freeze-dried food's going up in price, but that you'd like to get in on the deal. Tell them Sam and Kurt sent you to freezedryguy.com. The U.S. economy added 2,000 jobs, they claim. How they get that 2 on there, I don't know, but 252,000 jobs in December, and they call it an unemployment rate dropped to 5.6%. And my response is, that's all a scandal, folks. Everybody can get hired with 56 jobs for Christmas. Doesn't mean they're going to last. Yeah, they're having a layoff, massive layoff at two huge companies, Coca-Cola and McDonald's. They're both struggling in the booming economy. We also talked about JCPenney and Macy's to shutter 53 stores. We talked about Nike selling black sneakers to celebrate Black History Month. Just imagine if you had White History Month going on. Oh, those people are racist. The Black History Month people, they're not racist. They're only celebrating their culture. But the White History Month people, oh, they can't do that. I personally believe if we agree with the diversity idea, that we ought to celebrate everybody's History Month. What about Blind Short People History Month? I think we ought to have that too. What about those who believe in the right to keep and bear arms History Month? What about those who have Heritage to Founding Fathers History Month, you know? Anyway, Nike sells black sneakers to celebrate Black History Month. You can get the LeBron James sneakers. You can get the Kobe Bryant sneakers. You can, you know, that's all cool. Wow. I guess there's one dead officer in a shooting in the avenues. That's a tragic story. Barbara Boxer said that she will not seek re-election in the Senate in California for 2016. Man, it couldn't happen to a better person. I'm glad she can retire. Maybe she can go golfing with Barack, huh? Venezuelan textbooks teach math, science, and socialism. No different than America, I guess, huh? New Ontario sex ed curriculum will include what's called consent awareness. So not only do you got to consent, but you got to be aware that you're consenting. You see what I'm saying? I guess a doctor in New Mexico missed the births of one of his patients because he was having sex with other patients. Strange stuff everywhere. 60,000 corporations, I'm going to say that number again, 60,000 corporations closed every year because of taxes and the abusive, belligerent, out-of-control IRS. Oh, in Connecticut, I guess the Supreme Court ruled that a 17-year-old patient must, I repeat, must have chemotherapy. Wow, that's scary. Exercise instructor turns 100 years old. She's still rocking and rolling, and she's on Facebook. Wow, that was 1 hour of the broadcast. Second hour brought to you in part by TetonSports.com. When you want indoor comfort outdoors when you're camping, do it right with Teton Sports. And John Boehner says, I'm the most anti establishment speaker we've ever had. Okay, John. I guess Mercedes, they got a new ad. They want to lower New Jersey taxes. So Mercedes is just leaving New Jersey. Yeah. So they're pushing to lower taxes in New Jersey. But they also say they're so abusive, we're just out of here. Gone. Bye. Mercedes voting with their dollars and their feet, and good for them for taking a stand. I guess mom had baby an hour after learning she was pregnant. I don't even comprehend any of that, but they say it's true. 21 pages of Obamacare. They call them tax instructions. The IRS is calling it a demand shared responsibility payment. If you don't have insurance, you better pay the piper with your, they call it a shared responsibility payment. And I guess all those on subsidies, I'd like them to pay their shared responsibility payment as well. Maybe the illegals could kick in their shared responsibility payment and everything. You know, what about Barack's shared responsibility payment, huh? All right. I guess shovelers are sought to clear Lambeau Field. That's kind of an interesting twist. Why don't they just get a snowblower? I guess it's very difficult in certain places. You got to use shovels. I guess there's a lawsuit in Kansas. Schools are receiving fake bills for textbooks. In other words, it's a big old scam to fleece the education system. And if you shut down government education, that fleecing will not happen. Anyway, it's in there. Let's see, where's it at? New Mexico? It's a tent city. New tent city springs up. They're calling it a glimmer of hope. And the best way for folks to transition into housing. The only problem is there's government housing at the end of that tent tunnel, if you will. But at least I can say there's somebody trying. It's better than kicking out the tent city folks with no other place to live, huh? Oklahoma lawmakers want to ban hoodies. That's kind of a crazy story. Ban hoodies? Yeah, in all public places. It's crazy. You can walk around topless, but you can't wear a hoodie, huh? Homeless man in a heart-tugging viral video. I guess it turns out that he was supposed to take that $100 he got, and well, he went to the liquor store and everybody thought he was going to get drunk, but he bought food for his friends and it went viral and they raised a bunch of money. Well, turns out he's sitting on a $150,000 inherited estate, alleged brother claims. And the man who created the videos has been caught in video fake scandals before. This isn't the first time the quote YouTuber has been caught staging pranks. Believe it or not, a man confessed in a December 19th second video that he's been involved in some of the pranks before. Yeah, Mr. Lynn is the guy's name, and I guess he's been creating fake videos for quite some time. Harry Reid had a horrible exercising accident, broke a bunch of bones in his face. Our prayers go out to poor old Mr. Reid. Now, even though we disagree with Reid on most things, we would never want any violence to happen to him. We're sorry that he got hurt in that exercising accident, and we pray for a speedy recovery, and we pray he recovers so quickly he takes delight in wanting to retire and spend some time with his wife, huh? That's all we're hoping for. All right, without further ado, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Friday. Sorry, folks, the notes won't be up online, and the recording will not be there because we had a problem with it. But have no fear, I think we're back online happening today. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. News the networks refuse to use starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. And attorney at law, usjf.net, U.S. Justice Foundation's lead attorney, Michael Connolly, on the radio with us. Welcome to the broadcast, sir. We haven't talked to you yet. Happy New Year.
Well, happy New Year to you, Sam, and thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome, my friend. Now, Michael Connolly, ladies and gentlemen, came out for the new year absolutely swinging, as he always does. And he's the executive director of the United States Justice Foundation, usjf.net, michaelconnolly.jigsy.com. He's also written the booklet, Our Constitution, to help you get a handle on that. But he wrote an incredible article, ladies and gentlemen, entitled, They Are Coming for Our Guns. Liberty Roundtable columnist Michael Connolly. And this article, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is absolutely spot-on brilliant. And the sub-headline says this, It is official. 2015 is the year that progressives will make an all-out push to quash our Second Amendment and try to disarm the American people. Michael Connolly, brilliant article. We'll get into the details. But first, do you think they're going to get it done, or do you think we're going to stop them?
Well, we have to stop them. I mean, you know, one way or the other, we've got to stop them because this is going to be an all-out effort. It's going to be, they're going to be using the United Nations, the small arms treaty. They're going to be using the states that will go along with them, states like New York and Maryland and New Jersey and California, Illinois.
And even in the West, Washington State as well, huh?
Yeah, Washington State. And they're going to be going after us through the agencies, Department of Justice, Department of or Environmental Protection Agency, use the IRS. They're going to be using everybody they can to try to take away our right to keep and bear arms. VA, the Veterans Administration, I've talked about this on your show before, and that's accelerating. We're involved in fighting that. So it's an all-out push.
All right, Michael, you lay out 10 reasons why you're convinced they're coming for our guns. It is official. They're coming for our guns. 2015 is the year that they're going to push hard, and you lay out 10 realistic reasons why you believe they're going to do so. I want you to go through those, and then you lay out 6 solutions or 6 things that you believe we, the people, and the U.S. Justice Foundation, in partnership, if you will, need to do to stop them, right? So what I love about your article is that one lays out your case, but secondarily, it backs it up with, here's what we can do. I don't like it when a lot of people write an article, they'll just lay out the case, and then they end it there. A very big mistake. We need to lay out what we can do to combat it. We need to give people an action item, right?
Exactly. If we don't fight them, if we just complain, then we're not getting anywhere.
All right, let's lay out the 10 things.
Well, first of all, the Department of Justice is floating the idea, and this has been going on for a while out of the White House, too. And I talked about it last year on my radio show several times, that we have John Kerry, on behalf of Obama, signing the U.N. Small Arms Treaty. Now, to begin with, both of them lied about it. They both said that it did not require gun registration in this country. It, in fact, does. Part of that treaty requires that Obama report to the United Nations the names of all gun owners in the United States. But I'll get to that in a minute. The treaty, of course, has not been submitted to the U.S. Senate. The Constitution is clear. Any treaty signed by the president or one of his representatives must be submitted to the United States Senate for ratification by a two-thirds majority vote before that treaty can go into effect.
And by the way, let me add here, that's a high bar on purpose, right?
Right. And, you know, that was deliberate by the founders of our country. The treaties were supposed to become the supreme law of the land. But by the way, 1957, the United States Supreme Court ruled that no treaty, even if signed by the president and ratified by the Senate, no treaty can supersede the constitutional rights of Americans. And, of course, the Second Amendment to the Constitution provides the right to keep and bear arms, and it says it shall not be infringed. So, basically, this would be a dead treaty to begin with, but it has never been submitted to the Senate. Now, here's what the Department of Justice is saying and what the White House is saying. They're saying that the president does not have to submit the treaty to the Senate, but he can enforce the treaty and will enforce the treaty. And the only way the Senate can stop him is by a two-thirds majority vote to stop him from enforcing it. That's exactly the opposite of what the Constitution says. But we know how Obama feels about the Constitution. He's been ignoring it ever since he took office. He continues to ignore it.
Yeah, on one hand, you could say he's ignoring it. On the other hand, it's almost like he's having a battery of attorneys look for ways that he can walk that line to try to violate every tenet of it that he possibly can, but yet not cross the line to get spanked too hard.
Right. But, you know, he's ready to cross the line. I mean, he's a lame duck president now. And if we have an election in 2016, which I'm sometimes wonder about, you know, he will not be up for re-election. But his policies will be, because I think Hillary Clinton has already come out and said she's going to run on Obama's record, which is about the stupidest thing she's ever done, and she's done a lot of stupid things. But back to the UN treaty, his enforcement of the UN treaty will include prohibiting the importation of firearms or replacement parts from other countries in the United States. A lot of people own foreign-made weapons. If they need replacement parts for them, they will not be able to get them. They will no longer be able to buy foreign-owned weapons. He's already instituted this in one respect. The South Korean Army has thousands of M1 carbines and M1 Garands left over from the Korean War. They're just sitting in storage. They decide to raise some money for the military in South Korea by selling those in the United States. Obama blocked that. I would love to get my hands on an M1 carbine. That's what my father carried during World War II. I talk about that in my book, The Mortarman, about his unit and about how he that was his weapon of choice. I'd love to get my hands on one. You can hardly find them in this country, but Obama will not allow them to be sold by South Korea. So he's already putting that into effect. But also, he's going to be providing a list to the United Nations of all American gun owners, importers, and exporters, and probably all American gun dealers. In order to legally facilitate this, Congress would have to repeal the ban that they passed on funding of a national gun registration program. However, I don't think Obama cares about that. I think Obama's going to go ahead and use an executive order to order the registration of firearms in this country. Then we have, and something happened here recently that just floored me, and I just heard about it. I actually heard about it after I wrote the article, that veterans are suddenly getting letters from the VA telling them that if they would, VA is willing to provide them with free locks for their weapons, to secure their weapons, if they fill out a form telling the VA their name, address, and what weapons they own and where they keep them. They send that form in. They get free locks. Now, what's the deal here? Well, that's to find out which veterans own firearms. And the assault on veterans is continuing. The private medical records of veterans are now being turned over illegally to the FBI so they can be put on the NICS list and are not allowed to legally own firearms in this country. However, and this is based on the so-called mental illness of these veterans, being mentally ill to the point of being a danger to themselves or others. However, mental illness of these veterans is based on minor PTSD, suffering from minor depression, or letting their spouses pay the family bills, or in some cases...
Yeah, but there's a lot of us that let... Hold on. There's a lot of us that let our spouses pay the family bills because we're busy making a living or we're this and that. And it's just a division of responsibility within the family that's none of the government's business anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But it's even worse because we've got letters to veterans and in one case to the widow of a man killed in Vietnam, telling them that they have been put on the NICS list and they've been declared incompetent because they have an automated pay system through their bank. So in other words, their monthly bills are paid automatically out of their checking accounts, and this is somehow grounds for being mentally ill to the point of being a danger to yourself or others.
Well, then all the bankers that put these auto bill pays or these bill pays in place, all those guys are mentally ill too for even proposing such an idea.
Exactly. But veterans are also being required to tell the VA if they own firearms. When they go into the VA for, it doesn't matter if it's a medical situation or they go in and talk about their benefits or to get some, make some other claim on the VA, veterans are being asked if they own firearms. And I've confirmed this right here, right in Dallas, near where I live. I've talked to veterans who've had this happen to them at the Dallas VA. It's happening all over the country. They're being asked, do you own firearms? So they're also being asked, and I've confirmed this too, how do you feel about the federal government? How do you feel about the Obama administration? And do you have any radical tattoos on your body? And if they say no, they're required to be strip searched to find out if they got radical tattoos. There's no definition out there what a radical tattoo is, but I suspect if they have Don't Tread on Me somewhere on their body, if they got a Confederate flag tattooed on their body, they've got God Bless America tattooed on their body, that's considered a radical tattoo. Because Department of Homeland Security automatically adds all veterans returning from the war who have returned from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and now Vietnam veterans have been put on the list. They're automatically being added to the Department of Homeland Security's list of people who are potential domestic terrorists. Now, in addition to that, we've got Obama adding an illegal and unconstitutional amendment to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare in other words, overriding the prohibition that was put in there, sneaked in there by conservatives, the only good thing in the bill as far as I'm concerned, that said that doctors cannot ask their patients about whether or not they own a firearm. Obama has issued an executive order right after the situation at Sandy Hook. He issued these 26 executive actions, he called them. They were executive orders, One of those says that doctors are encouraged to do it, and pediatricians are encouraged to do it, as to children if their parents own firearms. That's a direct violation of the Constitution because Obama cannot change a law on his own. The Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution says the president must take care to enforce the laws passed by Congress. It doesn't say he can change the laws. It doesn't say he can decide which ones to enforce and which ones not to enforce. It doesn't say he can make new laws. Obama does all of that. But then I get a real shocker, which I include in my article, and that is my fiance goes in to see a new doctor in Canton, Texas, and he, you know, she's on Medicare now. First time she's been on Medicare. So she's on Medicare. She goes to see a new doctor who takes Medicare, and the doctor tells her, and he apologizes for this, I have to ask you a series of questions. These are required by the federal government, and they apparently are designed to see if you have the beginning stages of dementia or Alzheimer's, you know, something like that. So there's cognitive questions and math questions and this sort of thing. And then there's the kicker. Do you own a firearm? She was freaked out. I was freaked out. Do you own a firearm? That is now required by the federal government to be asked of anybody on Medicare. If we got people out there being asked that question also, please contact me at usjf.net and let me know, because this is incredible. This is a violation of our right to privacy. It's a violation of our Fourth Amendment rights, because the patients are being told they have to answer the question.
And this, it really evolves into a class action lawsuit, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, this is something that we need to really look at hard, because this is just another area where they're taking our health care records and using them against us. And he's also, Obama's issued an executive order that's being enforced by new HHS regulations that virtually sets aside the HIPAA law that protects the privacy of medical records. Under these new regulations, if your records contain anything indicating you have ever been depressed, had PTSD, or taken certain medications, such as for ADD or ADHD, your records will be turned over to the FBI, and you will be put on the NICS list.
Man, I get depressed right around April 15th every year, sir.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, come on, if you've ever been depressed, everybody in their life has had that at some point. Everybody in their life has been frustrated or, you know, we've worried about everybody at some point in life. That's just normal reality of life, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Certainly. PTSD is not just, well, first of all, PTSD is not even classified as a mental illness. It could happen to anybody, not just members of the military. If you've lost a loved one in an automobile accident, or you've been in an automobile accident yourself and been injured, or you lost a job, you can suffer from PTSD.
I figure everybody gets it every time they sign that IRS form under the penalty of perjury, they get that, you know.
I think so.
All right, quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Connelly is with us. And Michael Connelly is the director of the United States Justice Foundation. He wrote a booklet called Our Constitution. Get that today. We're talking about his incredible article called They're Coming for Our Guns, available on his website, michaelconnelly.jigsy.com, or live at libertyroundtable.com. Back in seconds, this is your favorite talk show.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
And this half hour of the broadcast is brought to you in part by the Give Me Liberty Fund. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. You want a win-win-win-win situation for patriots? GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Check it out today. 2015, ladies and gentlemen, is the year that progressives will make an all-out push to quash the Second Amendment and disarm the American people. It is official. The details are there. Michael Connelly wrote a brilliant article available at libertyroundtable.com. They are coming for our guns, and he's laid out the last half hour the reasons he believes they're coming for our guns. Everybody's basically being redefined as a mental patient. Everybody. And they're going to ask you if you have guns in your homes at all different medical facilities. And then they're going to basically eventually classify everyone as mentally ill. If you have a gun, by nature, you are mentally ill. Because otherwise, you'd be smart enough not to have a gun, for crying out loud. Isn't that where they're going, Michael?
That's exactly where they're going. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has reclassified or redefined mental illness and said that, you know, it used to be that you had to be adjudicated to be mentally ill to the point of being a danger to yourself or others in order to be put on the next list of people who cannot purchase firearms. Adjudication, by definition, requires some kind of legal hearing, where the burden of proof is on the government. Well, Eric Holder has decided that adjudication is not defined that way, that anybody who works for the federal government, even as an independent contractor or a lower-level bureaucrat, can declare a veteran or now anybody else mentally ill to the point of being a danger to yourself or others and put you on the next list.
Especially them whacked-out extremist domestic threat patriots that might have a crazy tattoo. Now, if you have a tattoo of a naked woman or something, you're cool. You have a tattoo of, like, the American flag or the Don't Tread on Me or whatever else, or, you know, God Bless America, then you're probably an evil person. But the tattoo is just the door to push through. Eventually, it'll be if you have a tattoo, if you have a Ron Paul sticker on your vehicle, if you believe in God, if you believe in, like, one man, one woman marriages, if you believe in Christian principles, that's certainly a weakness, a crutch, because you believe in God. They're going down every avenue possible with this. That list will just expand, won't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the surgeon, we have a new surgeon general now, which was the deciding vote was cast by the Republican senator from Illinois to confirm this guy. He believes that gun ownership is a health issue, i.e. a mental health issue. And the CDC has already come out and indicated that people who own guns probably are mentally ill. And then you have the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, who is now saying And you know, the, another way of being put on the Knicks list, by the way, was if you had been found by a court of law to be mentally ill to the point where you could not represent yourself in, or participate in a defense in a criminal charge, or you were committed to a mental institution by a court because you were mentally ill to the point of being in danger to yourself or others. Now, the broadening of that definition includes not just being put in a mental institution, but a mental institution is now defined as anybody who's ever visited a psychiatrist or a psychologist under court order. Now, when I practiced law in Louisiana for so many years, I did some family law work. And one of the things that was routinely done by judges is that in a custody battle, in a divorce proceeding where there was custody fight over the children, the judge would order all of the family members to go see a psychiatrist or a psychologist to be examined on an outpatient basis one time and then a report given to the judge so he could make sure there was no abuse going on and help him decide who would get custody, who would get visitation, how it would be set up, etc. That means now, under this definition, if you were in one of those families, even as one of the children, you can now have your name submitted to the FBI and be put on the Knicks list because you have now been found by the federal government to be mentally ill to the point of being a danger to yourself.
And that's even if you were the stable one in the relationship. You didn't leave. You didn't cheat on your spouse. You did nothing. You hold a job. You take care of your children. You're just trying to hold your family together and keep your children from an out-of-control spouse. Just because your spouse went crazy and now you're divorced or separated or whatever you are, and you're drugged before this court, you're drugged to the psychiatrist by force, and then you're drugged into this idea that you're mentally ill, even if the psychiatrist says that you're not, right?
Right, and the innocent children are the ones that are going to suffer from this, too, because they were taken and examined, and they were minors. They had no choice. They had to go see these people, and the children, if they're found, you know, even if they're found to have been no mental problems, no emotional problems, it doesn't matter. Under these new regulations, you are a danger to society, and you have to be disarmed.
Now, I know everybody's thinking right now, Michael Connelly, don't worry, the Republicans took the helm. This will never happen.
Well, it will never happen if the Republicans actually step up to the plate.
But they won't, sir. They never have, and they won't.
Well, you also have a situation where can the Republicans override an Obama veto of anything that they do, and that's about to start happening. But another thing that's happening, the final thing I talk about in my article, is the Department of Justice is campaigning to force banks to deny loans to, and even bank accounts, to firearms dealers, and they're going to continue to do this. They're going to continue to harass people who legally sell firearms in this country. So they're coming after us from all directions, and it's just going to get worse. The Senate has to step up, and here's what we're doing at the United States Justice Foundation. We're going to contact members of the United States Senate and urge them to refile the Veterans Second Amendment Protection Act. This was filed 2 years ago, right after I broke this story about what was happening to veterans being declared incompetent for no reason whatsoever and denied their firearms rights. By the way, we now estimate that there's about 200,000 veterans on the Knicks list, and 99.9% of them don't belong there. But Richard Burr of North Carolina, Senator from North Carolina, filed a bill to protect veterans from this, to stop it from happening. Obama opposed it. The Democrats in the Senate defeated it. You know, these little Obama bots that were in the United States Senate and march in lockstep to whatever Obama wants them to do. We want that to be refiled. We know it will pass the House and the Senate, or we believe it will. It certainly should. And Obama will have to veto it. We may be able to force people, the senators, particularly those Democrats up for reelection in 2016, to override that veto, because that's the last chance that our veterans have to stop this, other than the fact that we're trying to do it through lawsuits. And right now we're continuing our individual representation of veterans and their fights to reverse declarations that they are incompetent to handle their own financial affairs and cannot own firearms, and we've won some recent victories in this area. We're preparing to file suits. They sue against the VA, the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, and Department of Defense to force them to comply with our Freedom of Information Act request to gain documents about the attacks on veterans by these agencies. Because we found out that the FBI, for example, even if a veteran wins and gets their ruling of incompetency reversed by the VA. Of course, the burden of proof is on them in violation of the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. But if they win, the FBI is still refusing to remove them from the NICS list. Now, they're on the NICS list based on that incompetency ruling. Now, the FBI says, we don't care. We're going to keep you on anyway. You still can't have a firearm because you're a veteran. We want to know on what legal basis they're doing that. We want to know why the Department of Homeland Security is continuing to classify veterans as being a potential domestic terrorist simply because they're a veteran.
We need an all-out push, then, to teach the American people nobody should become a veteran, then.
Yeah, exactly.
And you would say, well, Sam, that puts America in danger. And my response is, not if you think that the American people can defend themselves. It's kind of a tough battle, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, we've got lawsuits that we're involved in and against some of the states, like Maryland, that are going the draconian laws that they're passing. New York, for example, there's a veteran there right now who has had his firearm seized by the state of New York. And because he was declared mentally incompetent to the point of being a danger to himself or others. Why? PTSD? No, he's never had PTSD. Depression? No, he's never had depression. Never been treated by a psychiatrist. Why was he declared incompetent? Why were his firearms seized? Because he went to a doctor to try to get treated for insomnia. So now insomnia is a mental illness that can take your firearms taken away from
you. That's what I'm saying. They're backing into every reason under the sun will become a mental illness and deny you your right to keep it in your arms. Now, before we get into a lot of the solutions that you have, in addition to some of the lawsuits and in addition to really pushing for this legislative agenda to be moving forward in the House and the Senate, great solutions. Are the Gun Owners of America helpful in this and or any other gun organizations?
Oh, yeah. We work with Larry Pratt all the time. Larry and I are good friends. We go back many, many years, and we have basically a law firm in Virginia that we utilize to do our briefs, Court of Appeals briefs, and Supreme Court briefs on issues like Second Amendment issues and many other issues that we're involved in, First Amendment. And the Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt's group, is almost always with us where we're with them. We join together to pay for these briefs, get them filed, and to work on situations like this. So, yes, Gun Owners of America and Larry Pratt are very much involved with what we're doing.
What about the NRA? Are they having any guts?
The NRA is not doing anything. The NRA is totally ignoring this issue about the veterans. They seem to be totally ignoring what's happening with the new regulations coming out from federal agencies. I'm real concerned about the NRA. I'm a member of the NRA, just like I'm a lifetime member of the American Legion. The American Legion is totally disinterested in this. Of course, they have a charter from the federal government. They're concerned about their charter. But they're letting their veterans down here. In fact, they even, right after I wrote my original article about what was happening to our veterans, they posted on their blog, the American Legion did, an article from an anonymous source who claimed to be a VA advocate, a veterans advocate, who said that everything I said was a lie. Well, I got the documents. I've got the VA whistleblowers. I've got the information. We have proven time and time again that what's happening here is true. We have veterans coming forward to say it's true, yet we're not getting any assistance from any of the major veterans organizations at this point, and the NRA doesn't seem to be interested in this. So pretty much it's a battle being fought by the U.S. Justice Foundation with the help of Gun Owners of America.
What about other gun organizations? I know they have, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms and several other organizations. Are they willing to come to the table?
Well, I haven't really had an opportunity to get with them yet. I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be contacting more gun organizations because we have to have more people involved in this fight. We're trying to raise the money right now to file a major lawsuit against the VA on behalf of all veterans in a class action type lawsuit. That would cost between $250,000 and $500,000. We're a small organization. We've been around for 37 years. We've got many, many victories on constitutional issues under our belt, but we can only do so much, and we do not intend and are not charging these veterans and their families a penny for doing this. Excuse me. They
all right.
Don't need to have that burden.
This is critical, ladies and gentlemen, and this is serious, serious, serious business, because if we lose this battle, You know, then who's going to be next? What are they going to expand after the veterans? They're going to say, well, golly, anybody who is even currently in the military, not just veterans, but anybody currently in the military, they can be overseas and fight, or they can fight on the American streets under the banner of the government, but the second they want to stand up for liberty, now you got to get the Oath Keepers into the battle, huh?
Well, exactly. In fact, that's already happening, because the reason we have the Freedom of Information Act request out to the Department of Defense is because they are now hiring independent contractors to go after not only veterans, but apparently members of the Army Reserve, the National Guard, and even some active duty veterans, to have them declared incompetent. We have a case in Texas where a soldier who was with the 25th Infantry Division in Iraq several years ago came home, had some PTSD issues. They were resolved, but they told him because of these he could not own a firearm in the United States. Then they turned around and sent him back to Iraq for another one-year combat tour. So he could go over and fight, but now he's back in the States again and is still told that he's on the next list he can't own a firearm. We have the Department of Defense, the VA gives veterans 60 days to dispute and file documents disputing the claim that they're going to be in, or the VA telling them, well, we're going to declare you incompetent to handle your own financial affairs. They have 60 days. Department of Defense contractors are giving veterans 5 days. They can't do anything in 5 days. We're trying to find out about that. So they're coming after everybody. And there's no question about it. This is an all-out assault.
Are there enough members of Congress that really get this, and the House and the Senate, you think, now with the Republicans taking over? This bill should be easy to introduce. It should be easy to get real backing for this time, shouldn't it?
It should be, and I'm going to be contacting some senators this week, starting with Richard Burr, and tell them that this needs to be done and needs to be done now. We need to get in front of the American people. We need the American people to find out what is going on here. Because, like you pointed out, Sam, this is not just for the veterans anymore. Under these new rules and regulations by HHS and BATF, and even the Environmental Protection Agency is getting involved, because they're now going after ammunition manufacturers, claiming that ammunition is a danger to the environment because some of it contains lead. So they're going after us. So it's an all-out assault by the feds, and they're going to be using the United Nations to try to enforce this. We don't know how yet, but we're waiting on that. And so we're getting other organizations involved. We're going to contact our senators. People out there listening to this show need to contact your senators and tell them that they need to protect the Second Amendment. They need to do it now. And they can't sit back and wait and say, oh, we'll get around to this in a year or so. They have to do it now.
The next group that's going to be attacked, in my mind, is they're going to call them preppers or constitutionalists. Or they're going to use some broad swath term that says, if you homeschool your children, if you have your babies at home, if you believe in, you know, freedom or God or go to church, or they're going to add huge swaths of this to the list. And at first it's going to be people who, well, the mainstream people are going to say, oh, those are extremists. They don't really count anyway. You're right. Those people might be dangerous. Oh, and one of the big groups they're attacking now is the sheriffs, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And you and I both work with this, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, run by Richard Mack. And, you know, that is a fine organization, and I fully support. I was there at the meeting where they drew up the declaration, and basically sheriffs and peace officers all over the country, including some in Texas, are signing this. And what they're saying basically is that we took an oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution. We believe in that oath. We're not going to let the federal government force us to violate that oath. In other words, if you pass illegal gun control legislation, excuse me, we're not going to allow you to come into our states and enforce that legislation, and we will not enforce it for you. And that's very, very important.
Our pressure with Michael Connelly, that sickness has been going around all across the country and making everybody cough. I was cursed with it a couple of weeks ago, and it's brutal, sir.
Yeah, we're having a big epidemic down here in Texas of flu. I don't have the flu, but we've had very, very cold weather, and all of a sudden my voice is giving out on me. And that's going to be interesting because I have three more shows to do today.
All right, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you wrap up really quick and say, what do you want the American people to do the most? Then we'll let you fly because we know you got a lot of radio to do.
Well, what I would like to have the American people do is, number one, go to usjf.net, look at what we're doing, read, keep up with what we're doing. You can go to usjf.net and go to the About Michael Connelly section, Executive Director section. You can get the link to my blog. Keep up with my blog and what we're doing on my blog, and consider donating to usjf.net and supporting our efforts on behalf of veterans and on behalf of the Constitution. We need your help. We can't do it on our own. And contact your members of the United States Senate and the House and say, look, we need to move on the gun control issue because they're going to take away our right to keep and bear arms. So that's very, very important.
And the big takeaway is they're trying to do it through the international treaty manipulation game. They're also trying to then bypass the federal government because they know they've ran into a buzzsaw there. They're going to start taking local municipalities and local states and trying to gain some victories there. We got to be on our guard.
Right. And if veterans out there have these issues, they can contact me through usjf.net or at michael@usjfmail.net. And we will represent you for free. So contact us if you're having any kind of issues with the VA, because we're uncovering a lot of other stuff besides just the firearms.
USJF.net, ladies and gentlemen. Michael, we'll talk soon, sir.
Thank you, Tim.
All right, there he goes, always doing a great job. Kurt, you want to respond? And then I know you got a couple of articles to chat about, huh?
You know, Michael, you know, at least this man, I remember Michael Connelly when we first met him and, you know, spent time with him. You know, it's nice to be aware of individuals who, you know, they continue working, reminding me of good old workhorse in the trenches, just continually doing the things that need to be done. I know many times he's got to feel... I guess you could say unheard. Got to feel like he's working and wondering if anybody's out there is listening, especially when it comes to senators and congressmen and that kind of thing. But this gentleman, you know, he shows you what, an example of what we need more of in America. It's impressive to see people who continue to work day in and day out to defend the cause of liberty. Michael Justice at the U.S. Constitution Foundation, good example of that. Look at the things that have happened over the weekend. There have been several items, but one of the biggest things I wanted to bring up that I thought was piece of good news. And there's not, I guess you could say, I know there was a bunch of NFL games over the weekend. I guess there was even some talk that somebody did some illegal formations and different things. I missed all the NFL games. I just don't watch them, don't have time, but I did watch a little bit of college basketball, some pretty good stuff there with my favorite team of BYU Cougars. And, so I did a little bit of that, enjoyed the weekend with my family, did a little God family country weekend, as Sam likes to call it. It looks like, ladies and gentlemen, when you evaluate what's the next moves we could make to make a difference in America. And one of the things I've been thinking about, since we're all in huge amounts of fear lately because of the low price of fuel, that's a little tongue-in-cheek, ladies and gentlemen, because the fact is, one gentleman wrote an article and said that Americans were scared when they go to the pump and see the low prices of fuel. But I would suggest that you consider using that money that you thought would have been going to fuel, use it to support things like, for example, the GiveMeLibertyFund.com or LibertyRoundtable.com. You've got the good folks at CSPOA.org. This money you know, could certainly be used. I went in there the other day and got my standard fuel up of about 30 gallons, and I thought, man, that's incredible how it's less than half of what I remember paying at the high point, and so it was sure nice. I didn't even feel scared one bit, though, but it was an opportunity to say, hey, you know, we can use that money for other things, even, of course, getting out of debt, doing things like that. But if you are out of debt, your family's in pretty good shape, remember those patriotic entities, organizations that are working hard, like the U.S. Justice Foundation, of course, Liberty Roundtable, CSPOA.org, GiveMeLibertyFund.com. You know, good folks like that, we try to bring them to you here on this program. We try to make it so that with one place, you can basically support a lot of your, well, favorite patriotic entities.
Well, and I also want to mention, Kurt, the
yes.
Gun Owners of America, too. I mean, you know, I'm not I'm not trying to down the
NRA.
The NRA, because you know what? They do some good sometimes, you know, fine. But I'm just telling you, the Gun Owners of America organization really steps up. They support the CSPOA big time. They support U.S. Justice Foundation big time. They support really the causes that matter most to us. They're really in the game. And I'm a lifetime member of Gun Owners and highly recommend you become one as well.
That's a great example, Sam, and that's exactly what I was talking about.
Now, there's some people have emailed me that have been listening to Joyce Riley's program and we've been simulcasting on her show and everything, Kurt, and they believe that we're much more right-wing than we are left-wing.
Well,
and I've been kind of writing back to them and telling them that's bogus. We stand for principle. And proof in the pudding is, hey, we supported NPR, National Public Radio, when they were kind to Ron Paul and Sean Hannity and crew was not. We also supported Alan Combs over Hannity because Combs was at least decent and respectful. And even though they disagreed, at least they had a dialogue instead of running around with hate and just abuse. And so, you know what? We try to call a spade and we stand on principle. And, you know, sometimes that gets very dicey, that's for sure. All right, Joel Skousen will be with us second hour. Michael Connolly was with us this hour. We got a whole lot more news the networks refuse to use and stories to come coming your way. Hour one in the can, two coming up. You want to turn any phone into a radio? It's simple and free. Smile and dial 712-432-5339. That's 712-432-5339. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. You're going to help? Thanks.